Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast. And today we have got a very, very special guest, Claire Hegarty. And I'm sure that as the podcast progresses, you're going to learn all sorts of tools and all sorts of methods that are going to help you to look at your life in a slightly different way. But before we start talking about the subject of the podcast, I'd like you to be introduced to Claire, and to verify exactly Claire's ability to make this podcast, I'm going to ask you, Claire, my lovely friend, welcome Claire, to talk a little bit about yourself. So welcome, Claire Hegarty.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Such a pleasure. And I have been working in the field of personal development for over 20 years now, nearly half my age, showing my age. I'm a scientist by background and trained in a lot of different disciplines. I'm a certified trainer of NLP, master timeline therapy, NLP coaching, hypnosis, Reiki master. So I like to blend lots of different techniques, quantum physics, you know, as many different skills that I can bring into my work to enable people to be the person they were born to be and live the life of their dreams as best they can.
Thank you, Claire. And also, Claire is a very highly qualified scientist. She moved from science into another world for her own choices. But I think you should understand that you're going to be listening to somebody who is a very, very clear and well-reasoned thinker. So, Claire, you sent me this email and you said, I'd like to offer you a suggestion for a podcast. And I read it and I read the brief synopsis and I thought, we've just got to go for that. Because in this present time, in this difficult, difficult crisis that we are all going through, there is going to be a great deal of disappointment. And Claire suggested that we might think about how to turn disappointment into a desire. Fantastic thought. Claire, please explain.
Yeah, absolutely. These are not easy times for anybody. And for some people, it's a lot tougher than others, understandably. And there's a lot of disappointment around, whether that's people that have lost their jobs or relationships have fallen apart or can't attend events that, you know, and a lot of the Lizzian events, that might be the focus of someone's year. And they look like your holiday, you look forward to it, understandably. And I started to see lots of people in disappointment, but also staying there. And while it's appropriate and I understand it, feeling disappointed, focusing on the negative, focusing on what can't happen, isn't actually going to change things, isn't going to make the event be able to happen at the moment or the holiday happen or the wedding happen because it can't. So a lot of my work is helping people to turn that mindset around to one that's more useful and more productive for them, which is the disappointment into desire.
It's very interesting. Something really jumped out at me there, Claire. You use the phrase in disappointment rather than what most of us do, myself included. I say to be disappointed, but you know, that's quite a profound two words, in disappointment, because actually you do become involved in it, and it can, the actual disappointment itself can be like a set of dominoes, can't it? You can think, oh God, that hasn't worked very well. And then you start going all over the place and setting things up in your mind of, oh, well, that's happened and now that's going to happen. You'd need to some degree, if you're in disappointment, you need to be out of disappointment, accepting what's happened. But how do we go about doing that, Claire?
Yeah, absolutely. We have from the studies of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is a phenomenal model for understanding how our mind works. We have what we call state. We might call it mood or how you feel or state of mind. And the belief that we can change our mood, we can change our state of mind. Because like you say, absolutely, it's a bit like we wake up and we didn't have a good night's sleep, we're a bit grumpy. And then because we're grumpy, we drop our toast on the floor. And then because we dropped our toast on the floor in an even worse, and it's just that whole domino effect. Whereas what I like to help people to do is to change the mindset. And I'm not saying changing mindset makes our life perfect. It's not going to make COVID go away in an instant. It just means we can change how we feel to then almost like view the world in a different place. So one of the ways that one of the most powerful ways to be able to change how we feel quickly is our breathing and how we move our body, which is why exercise is brilliant for changing how we feel. Dancing around to music, meditation, because if we're in the state of disappointment, then it isn't particularly, although it might be appropriate, it isn't going to make us get the best out of the day. So what we can do is change our mindset and move it towards desire. And whether that's through meditation, breathing techniques, exercise, listening to great music, one of the ways we can do that is start to shift the focus from the negative of what hasn't happened yet, remember yet, to what can happen at some point. And a great way to do that is whether it's a journal, whether it's a recording, or whether I love making, you know, mind maps or mood boards where you can get images of all the things that you want to happen, because that takes the scales from the negative into the positive and the desire of the things that, like I say, haven't or can't happen yet and will be able to happen at some point in the future.
Now, it's important, it seems to me, that you shouldn't camouflage what's happened, try and mask it.
No.
Appreciate what's happened is more important. But I've got a feeling that a lot of people, for example, let's come to a mood board or a wish board. I think that a lot of people perhaps set their expectations too high. I think that a lot of people would be better to say, put images up there that are attainable and then step it one step. You've attained something once, then you attain something a little bit better the next time. But what I'm coming to is this. It's interesting that when we are learning, when we're at school, or when, for example, you're doing your degrees and you're getting ready for your dissertations, you're not necessarily just one focused on one facet of the subject that you are learning. You actually, throughout of a day, you may do psychology, and then you may go on to physiological, then you might go on to thinking, then you might go on to ethics. It's quite interesting, isn't it? If you can vary the different aspects of the issue or the disappointment, look at it clearly from different dynamics, you can, in a way, strengthen and exercise your mind to exorcise the demons that cause you problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're totally right. It's really important to acknowledge how we feel. A lot of clients that I work with that suffer with their mental health and then also suffer with addictions is because they take something, eat something, drink something as a way to mask how they feel, which might make them feel better short term, but actually doesn't fix the problem. And then they become addicted to that substance. So, you know, the feelings that people are having, absolutely, of course, are totally appropriate through these times. It's honoring that. It's honoring, why am I disappointed? What did I want to happen? And shifting that mindset to both honoring how we feel and going, okay, this couldn't happen at the moment. It will happen at some point in the future. And like you say, setting realistic targets. So it could be that, let's say if it was a wedding that someone might have been planning for years, completely understandable being disappointed it can't happen. Then to go, okay, so the wedding might be next year. So what one positive thing can I do a day to get ready for when the wedding can happen? And it could be looking at some pictures. It could be speaking to somebody. So even though they're little baby steps, it starts to focus on the positive and go, okay, right, couldn't happen. Everyone understands. And how great is it going to be when it happens next year? And what can I do each day or each week to build that desire towards the positives?
So you could use this phrase that somebody said to me, Francis said to me many years ago. He said, you can't spell a word with one letter. You need to have the whole of the alphabet to spell many words. So you need to open your mind to have as many different ways of viewing a situation as possible. So you may feel emotional discord about a situation, but you could actually use an intellectual conversation with yourself to overcome the emotional aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like when you learn a dance, you learn the different steps and then they integrate into a whole movement. So, and I think even before lockdown, even before COVID, we probably did this naturally because you book a holiday and then there's all the steps you did before the holiday, even though the holiday might have been a year away. So it's still having that mindset of the positives and what you can do to prepare for them. And a real great way to get in touch with the desire and the positive emotions is imagine that you're there. So whether it's the event, whether it's the wedding, whether it's seeing your family again. You know, I live in Wales, my family's in England, so I haven't seen my family for apart from video calling, thank goodness for video calling, for a long time. So if it's like, you know, what I'm really looking forward to is being able to see my family again. And if you float into your body, looking through your own eyes as if you're there, that enables you to fully engage in the desire and the positive emotions. And that actually helps with the motivation to keep us focused on the positives through these not easy times.
Fascinating. Let's use the idea of the poor bride who's been disappointed with the wedding. So there she is. She's been planning for, as you say, sometimes years to put the wedding together. She may have issues now with the venue wanting to keep some of the money and things of that nature. So she's got all sorts of difficulties going on. And obviously there's doubts and obviously she's very upset. So her disappointment is immense because, to be clear, for the majority of people, their wedding is one of their most important aspects in the whole of their lifeline, the whole of their timeline of life. The wedding is a spectacular event that's memorized and thought of by everybody who attends. So the hopes have been dashed. So if she's going to turn that disappointment into a desire, how would she go about it? Would she start to say, actually, I can now plan better, I can condense? What would she do? How could she make this disappointment into a desire?
Yeah, I that, exactly those kind of aspects, because I know for some people that being able to have reduced numbers at their wedding worked in their favor. Yes. Because before they were like, I've got to invite this person and don't, you know, to keep the politics go okay, and then it's cost a lot of money. So for a lot of people that I've kind of heard about their weddings, they go, actually, it's been brilliant because I could only have like 13, 15 people. So I could just have the people I wanted there. And it saved me thousands of pounds. So that's the positive out of it. But obviously people can't have the parties and stuff the same. So if what works better for a bride is to have the wedding originally as planned, is to go, okay, well, now I've got more time. So is this definitely the dress that I want? Is this definitely, you know, if nothing's set in stone with the food, is this the music that I want? You know, have I got if I want gifts for the groomsman and the bridesmaid, now I've got more time. Because we know when you look online, sometimes it's worth researching because the same item can cost different depending on where you look. Could I save up some more money towards my honeymoon? So it's flipping those positives to using the time as a gift, because for a lot of people, they might have known about been planning the wedding for a year, 2 years, but a lot of people tend to leave things to the last minute.
Yes.
Whereas now using the gift of time to go, actually, there are things now I've got more time that I could do differently or better.
Yes. So what I feel the two words that come to me from your explanation is regroup and replan, a bit like say, well, okay, that's where it's at. This is what tools I've got. This is the amount of people I can work with. So you regroup the people together and replan. And incidentally, you might also think, if you're the poor bride, that there are people who actually didn't want to go to the wedding anyway. So you've released them from that commitment.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people, that this is why people, when we can go abroad, isn't it? Because they go, I actually only want, you know, my parents, grandparents, close friends, but kind of they feel obliged to have 50 more people there that they rarely speak to. And so there is the positive in that. And then I think that, yeah, and obviously we've got things like video calling. So it could be that maybe you have like a pre-hen do by Zoom, or a pre-stag do by Zoom. Yes. and, you know, people, or, you know, a quiz, or that is, I'm so pleased there is video calling these days.
Yes.
So, because that's what I did, you know, when I needed to move my training courses later in the year, I did Zoom calls so the group could get to meet each other virtually, and so we could kind of keep that momentum until we could be back in the classroom. So that's a really nice thing to do as well.
Yes, I think you are 100% on the nail there, Claire. And if I may bring in my and Liz's attitude to this situation. Mm-hmm. I think that, okay, we had disappointment, immense disappointment, that we were going to lose 7 events from our calendar in 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, that the first thing that you have to accept, the financial aspect of that, the financial implication is quite catastrophic.
Sure.
So what we had to do is we had to sit literally and plan out what we were going to do. The first thing that we knew was that we were quite financially healthy in our bank account. So we could make certain changes to affect the foreseeable future, which was unforeseeable. We didn't really know how long anything was going to happen for. So the first thing that we did, as you know, we repaid all of the fees that people had paid us completely for the whole of the year immediately, to exonerate any problems with that. That gave us, if you like, a clear conscience about how we would work. Now, at that time, I'm just trying to look on my computer as I'm looking. Now, at that time, we were averaging 290 people per day on our Liz and Events News, 290 a day, which multiply that by 7 is around about 8,000 people per month. So I said to Liz, do you know, the one thing we've got to take advantage of what's happening. So the desire, the disappointment has now become the advantage. That's the desire, isn't it? The advantage. Mm-hmm. And I said, we'll be absolutely use all of this free time that we've now got, and I'm going to go absolutely 3 times the amount of effort into Liz and Events News. Now, 9 months later, even though we haven't had any financial yield from our efforts, we've now got 14,000 people per month.
Wow.
Read it. So we haven't lost at all. So the disappointment actually has turned into euphoria because we're connected to 14,000 people a month, Claire, all over the world.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that the type of thing that you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, it is literally going, okay, me being disappointed and giving myself a hard time and getting everyone else involved in it, which social media tends to do, is going, that isn't going to change it. Isn't going to get rid of lockdown quicker, isn't going to mean events can happen. So what can I do with this time? Because, you know, my mindset is that I do a lot of events, as you know, Lizzie, yes, and other events throughout the UK. When they've had to be cancelled, I actually am pleased that I want the organisers to keep my payment because I know then I've paid already when it comes to next year.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense.
So I know that that's paid, that's done. And, you know, and just look forward to the next one. So it is, you know, it's what can we do with the time? And like you say, that all those many more people come in, then that's more people coming to the events. That's more potential traders.
Yes,
so then it will monetize, as well as people getting information and podcasts and the benefit they get from visit the website.
Yes.
Whereas if you just sat there and go, I'm not going to do anything, that wouldn't have happened, would it?
No. And now we can turn that patterning, if you like, because I don't know how to explain it in other words, say an exemplary way that you're going to live your life. So you can actually turn that around to any situation with disappointment. You could say, for example, you were expecting to have surgery, not life-threatening, for a life-threatening disease, but say just general surgery. You were going to have a cyst removed or something of that nature. And you've then got the text from your hospital saying that the operation has been cancelled. Rather than say, oh God, that's disappointment, I'd set myself up ready to prepare myself for it, you might say to yourself, actually, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to get myself a little bit fitter. I'm going to do a little bit more walking. I'm going to do all the things just to make myself just that little bit healthier, to give myself the edge for when I do actually have the operation. Is that a feasible way of looking at some disappointment?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it could be as well the ripple effect of the person going, actually, yeah, I'm going to eat better, exercise more, could mean potentially that the surgery could be reduced to a lesser form of surgery.
Of course, because
they've made themselves better. And even if it wasn't, they're in a better place to recover. And, you know, manage the anaesthetic and those aspects. So I think it is exactly what you say in terms of having the time and what can you do differently, or what are the things that you've been putting off? Because I mentioned that a lot of clients that come to me, we go, I've been meaning to contact you for months. But every time I go to email you, the kids call, the phone goes, I'm called into work. And so I was kind of in that cycle of being really busy, knowing that I wasn't right, knowing things weren't right, but keeping, because I know some people where they literally won't sit still, because if they sit still, all the stuff they need to work on comes to mind. So they're just constantly on the go. So they'll say, you know, the positive is that I've kind of almost like forced myself to do what I've wanted to do for ages. But even if it's not work related, is there a room in your house that you've been meaning to tidy that you haven't for ages, that you've got the time for, because it creates more space and makes you feel better?
Yes.
Or are there friends you haven't had time to speak to for ages that you could arrange a call with, and creating that balance? Because I find for some people that or just time for themselves, because a lot of people, if they were driving to work, would have an hour or two to listen to the radio, listen to a audio book, and that gave them the time out from, you know, family and work and all these areas, and they're not having that. So how can you create that space for you each day as well?
That is a fascinating thought. I read something earlier in the year about commuting, and I, for the life of me, I didn't realise that actually people enjoy the commute, where most of us think, oh God, I wouldn't like to do that every day. The hour in the car going to work is actually a place where very few phone calls can come through, and they can listen to their music, and they can think about totally things that are nothing to do with work. And on the way home, the commute and the traffic jam, if they've got the right mindset, they can say, I'm in my meditation box here.
And if they haven't got that, a lot of people that, you know, they're managing to adapt from working from home, they're managing the kids, but they're kind of, they're going, I'm feeling like overwhelmed here. And then they go, I'm used to having 2 hours to do, you know, to just sit, listen to music, listen to a recording. So, you know, I always say to people, you know, keep in that routine. So if you're used to, maybe it might not be so easy to have 2 hours, but take 10 minutes, 15 minutes just to, you know, read your book, listen to your music, get that time out, because that's really important for our well-being. Otherwise, people tend to feel that overload and then they get stressed, and that's not good for us mentally, emotionally or physically. So I think people are missing that commute time. So I'd factor that, even if it means they get up a little bit early and have half an hour before the kids go up. You know, I think there's always a way to manage things.
Yeah.
If we plan it enough.
I'm beginning to think that disappointment could actually be an island of benefit. It could actually be a turning point, a tipping point, where you could say, this is my disappointment. What am I going to do? How am I going to make my life better? What are the things I'm going to do? And particularly with this lockdown situation, particularly with these restrictions, actually, it could be turned into a blessing, couldn't it? You could actually say, thank you, government. That's given me some time to do my garden, or to put my feet up, or to do a little bit more walking, connect to nature, connect to myself, forgive myself for all the things I've not done right. I mean, actually, from even just having this conversation with you, I've actually begin to see a different dynamic to this. I'm beginning to think, well, actually, disappointment's not a bad thing, really, because you could actually just say, fair enough, then that's my excuse to just say, forget it, we're done. Let's just go away from it.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I find that people find it easier to give themselves permission to do certain things when when it's something like this, where, you know, it's out of anyone's control, it's in a, you know, obviously Wales is, we come out the firebreaker, but it's almost like, oh, it's okay now for me to take time for me. It's okay for me to look after me. And it's okay for me to say to those around me, actually, I just need 10, 15 minutes to meditate, have a bath, go for a walk, you know, whatever it is, or tidy this room. And so, yeah, if we start to think of a disappointment as a state of mind, appropriate, understandable, and we can change our state of mind to one that's more useful, more productive, and that enables us to focus on the positives that will and can happen rather than the negatives that haven't happened. But we can't change that. We can't change what hasn't happened.
Yes, I know somebody very well indeed. I won't go into the whole story about this man, but he actually had 27 years in prison. Mm-hmm. And his story of those 27 years is absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to this man, his intellect is just, it's just at the top of the tree, Claire. It's just amazing. His ability to reason, his ability to assimilate facts. He'll say, I'll go and have a look at that. And he'll come back a couple of days later and say, well, do you know when you speak about this? And he's done a good, I kid you not, Claire, that man, if he decided to embark upon a degree, he'd come out with honours. He's mm-hmm. fantastic. And I said to him, how did you manage to navigate and negotiate all of those years? And he said, books, Ian. I absolutely buried myself in books. I read everything from poetry to fiction to technical books. He said, whatever they had in the libraries, I read books. He said, I know about welding. I know about birds. I know about teeth. I know about brain. I know about everything. He said, I took advantage of a fact that I was going to be out of society for many, many years. He said, okay, it took me 6 months to make the adjustment. He said, but everybody left me alone because they knew all I wanted to do was read a book. I wasn't going to cause them problems. They weren't going to cause me problems. Now, I know that's an extreme, but he does demonstrate that if you accept your disappointment, then you can actually then have a desire to do something that benefits you from within that disappointment.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You know, and like you say, it's acknowledging it, it's accepting it, going, okay, I understand why, and then taking charge of it rather than thinking it's something that we can't change. Because if we take charge and go, okay, I can change how I feel, I can use the time, I can learn, you know, it's so easy to get information on the internet, might you know if you, oh, career change, or let's have a watch some podcasts or whatever it might be, and just literally, because if you think about the analogy of with children, and say we'd promise to take them to the cinema and the film can't run, we wouldn't sit there and sulk with them. We'd occupy their time doing something else. To shift the kids' disappointment, not being able to go to the movies, yes, into true. Going to the beach or watching a movie at home. And so it's that kind of way. Because like I say, with little kids, you wouldn't just go, okay, let's all sit around here and be miserable. And we go, okay, what are we going to do differently? And then they get involved in the positive and they've probably forgotten about what they were meant to do before. So it's working with ourselves, because our unconscious mind, which some people call the subconscious mind, which is the mind of all learning or behavior or change, it's the mind of our emotions, our habits. Our unconscious mind thinks like a 5, 6, or 7-year-old. So that's the way we would nurture and look after a child, is having that same approach to ourselves and literally rechanneling and using the time more productively.
Yes. Now, there's a very interesting point. A lot of people, and truly they do, a lot of people say, why are you always so happy? And you've known me for some years. I always have got a smile on my face. It doesn't make any difference whether I'm alone or with friends. Happiness is key to my inner peace. And somebody said to me quite recently, why are you so happy? And I looked him dead square in the face and I said, because I still play with toys, train sets, cars, jigsaw puzzles. I love it, Claire. I absolutely love it. And last night, I read perhaps three books at a time, and I'm reading a book about the miners' strike at the moment, The Enemy Within, fantastic. And I'm just revisiting Brenda Ulan's If You Want to Write. And then at about 11:30 last night, I thought, I don't know, and I started reading Enid Blyton.
Oh, wow.
And do you know something? Even though Blyton's work is definitely focused upon children, there is a great deal to learn from the way that children's books are written, because they're actually doing this thing, aren't they? There's an enemy that you've got to overcome. There's a darkness you've got to overcome. And it shows that you can have setbacks during the story, but ultimately the kids win. And they often win over adults. And this formula seems to go through all kids' books. But, you know, there's a lesson in life, isn't there, with that?
Yeah. It's the archetypes, because the unconscious mind works very symbolically, which is why we like games and why we like quizzes and why we like movies, because the archetype resonates with us whether we're little or we're older. Mm-hmm. So Harry Potter books are for adults and films just as much as they are for kids, because it's the archetype that we can, like you say, you slay the dragon and you get the prize and you come back to the kingdom, and we all like that archetypal story, no matter how old we are. And play is, you know, this is what I say to my clients in terms of to help them create balance, is to have something for them outside of work, outside of family, outside of other areas where you can be creative, whether it's, you know, drawing, whether it's baking, whether it's made, even if people go, I'm not very good at it, it doesn't matter, just play, because it gives you that kind of playful, joyful time, and it gives you, it's like a meditation, isn't it, where you switched off from everything else and in that internal fantasy almost, because that can help us with tapping into desire as well. So take the time and go, okay, if I could wave a magic wand, what would I keep in my life, what would I change, and how good would that feel, that if I could find a way to make this possible, because that's what we do as kids, isn't it, we dream, and that's something I encourage adults to do as well, in terms of starting to dream your life becoming real.
Claire, would you advocate that people role play their problems out, their disappointments? Would you advocate that people like have a, well, I do. I'll in fact, I was talking to Debbie Iston earlier in the week about this. I actually have a mindscape. I actually can close my eyes and it's full color, and I can have a stage there if I want one. I can have a beach, whatever it is, and I can see myself, and I'll role play through issues. And I get a feeling if it's working well, if it's if I feel good about it. If it's not going so bad, I can walk away from these situations. Yeah. Do you advocate people role play?
If it's gaining insights and learnings and benefits, absolutely.
Right.
Rather than getting stuck in the content. Because I find sometimes when people role play, they're just going through the content rather than having dialogue or inspirations or insights. Because the way the unconscious mind works is the unconscious mind can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. So you could have a conversation. So say there's someone and, you know, things aren't going great and you don't feel so comfortable, or you can't physically see them at the moment anyway. You can have a conversation with that person in your mind and actually get the inner resolution that you need.
Yes. You see, what I do is say I've got a situation where I need to negotiate something, or I need to have a difficult conversation with somebody. What I'll do is I actually have the play run in my mind. But what I do is I get the person involved to give me every single negative answer and present every single challenge to me for me to persuade them or to get my point of view over. The last thing I do will be to get the role play to end up in the way that I want it to happen. And so if I then go into the negotiation and we don't agree or we don't get what we both want, then I don't feel badly about the outcome.
Yeah. I do this a lot with my clients where, like you say, if it's quite a difficult conversation or you don't know how the other person is going to respond to it, I would say, okay, you know, write it down to yourself, have the dialogue as if they were there. And what I find, you know, 9.5 times out of 10, that either the person just naturally starts being a different way in a positive, or the conversation that they felt that was going to take a bit of a build up to arrange an appointment, it just naturally happens as a dialogue. And then my clients will go, you know, this big thing that I thought I was going to have to book a meeting, it was going to be really serious, we were just naturally talking and it came up and it was really easy. And I think that's because they've done that inside and gained the insights and kind of been better prepared for it. So that's when I do think it's very, very helpful.
Claire, we've been talking for 35 minutes or so. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to conclude our podcast for today. And I'd like to ask you a question before we conclude the podcast. But first, I'm going to ask, will you come back and take this a little bit further? Because it's a fascinating subject that we're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
So the question, roll of drums here. I'm going to put you on the spot. If you could give somebody listening today one piece of advice, if they've had a disappointment, if they feel as if their life now is boxed in because of that disappointment, could you give them just one little piece of advice just to help them get out of it?
Yeah. I would take a step back, close your eyes, just breathe nice and gently. And trust your heart and remember all the good things. Remember the good things are still there. But just think of the disappointment like a cloud. And you look out the window and it's a real grey sky. Most people go, oh, it's really, you know, it's not going to be a nice day. And then you look out the window again and the cloud's gone. It's a beautiful blue sky. And that sky was always there. So just take that time. Just think of the disappointment as a cloud that can lift. And start to dream about what are the things you're going to be able to do, and trust your heart and trust that they will happen at some point. It's just they haven't happened yet.
You'll never get a better piece of advice than that. Let me just go through the ways that you can contact Claire. I recommend that you go to listen again for Callan FM on the Health Inspector. I'll put a link to Callan FM. You can find that no problem at all on the page. You need about 45 minutes to an hour minimum to go through Claire's spectacular page, clairehegarty.co.uk. Really, really worth a visit. There'll be a link to that on the page as well. And we've also got Claire's Emperor Training Services. I need you to know that Claire is extremely busy. If you have a question, I'm sure that she will answer it if you email her, but you can only expect a very brief synopsis. Claire is so busy, she would not have the time to go into a long dialogue about issues, but you can always book her. I'm sure that she'd work online with you to help you through your problems, and I can absolutely assure you that you will have the most fantastic benefits from working with Claire. She's a lady with immense compassion, kindness, and love of fellow men. And if you haven't got those three criteria, you can't really help people. So Claire, absolutely fantastic. Thank you for being with me this afternoon, and I look forward to talking to you in the very near future. Claire Hegarty,
thank you for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.